7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and this time we are talking about some of the NFL rule changes that have happened this offseason. And what is it, the AAF?
Yes.
What does it stand for?
I believe Alliance of American Football.
We're going to talk a little bit about some of their rule changes and what we think about both of them, and if it would, or not rule changes for them, but rules in general for them, and if it would make sense for the NFL. But before we get to that, as always, I'm joined by Tom. Tim is on leave right now. He's actually covering the UFC...
225?
I think 225 event down in Chicago. He's got cage side seats. He's actually got a table set up with Uriah Faber. He's actually hanging out with Curtis Blaydes. He's a part of the camp. He's the striking coach. So it'll be very interesting to see how that goes for Tim and these UFC fighters that he's going to be talking to this weekend.
Tim is also the late replacement for CM Punk's opponent if he decides to back out. And Tim would probably be the betting favorite in that fight
probably,
against Phil
yeah.
Brooks.
Yeah, we call him Phil Brooks here, not CM Punk, because we like to use real names, not made-up names. But if we did use made-up names, you can call me the Shits and Giggles Man. All right?
So you inside joke, guys.
I gotta know myself. I gotta bring me all your shits and giggles, because I'm the Shits and Giggles Man. But before, without any other, I can't help myself. That was just too funny.
You're just keeping it 100, Josh.
So we're going to go ahead and just jump right into some of these proposed rule changes. And the first thing that we're going to talk about, Tom, the standard for a catch has been changed. Basically, they are saying that a catch will be considered completed when the receiver gets control of the ball, gets 2 feet or another body part on the ground, inbounds, and completes a football move, which would consist of a third step, reaching slash extending for the line to gain, or having the ability to do so. What are your thoughts?
I think this is a much-needed change for the NFL. The NFL catch rule has been a complete disaster. You can go back to Calvin Johnson against the Bears when he caught that touchdown that would have won them the football game, but when he got up, he threw the football in celebration. They said no catch. You can go to the Dez Bryant catch against Green Bay in the playoffs. Even Pony Keg Mike thinks that was a catch, in all honesty.
And
he won't admit that.
They came out and said that was a catch, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you even go to last year, the Steelers-Patriots game, when Jesse James was reaching the football over to score a touchdown late in that football game, and when he reached that ball over, it bounced off the ground and he lost possession, and they said it didn't count. That should have counted. Common sense here. That's what the NFL is doing. You know, I like the idea, just that third step, that lunge, and that completes the catch process. It makes sense. There's a lot of people right now saying that this is going to add another gray area. Was that actually a football move? Was that a third step? I don't think it's going to be as bad as what was currently in place the last few years. I think this is better, and I think the NFL made the right call here. I wish there wouldn't be any gray area, but I don't know if that's possible right now.
Would you consider a football move such as like this, right? You're running, you're catching the ball facing the quarterback. Is just turning your body to the right, is that enough to constitute a football move for you?
As long as, like, your feet are moving, I would say yes.
Yeah.
So that could also be negative for offenses. So we've seen plays where we've seen that happen. Instant boom, boom play where a defender hits them and they say incomplete catch. And a lot of times, I thought it would be a fumble, that it should be ruled a fumble, and they did not rule it that way.
I agree, yeah. I think a catch should be constituted such as catching the ball, and if you turn your head, say if you're facing the left, running towards your right, and you catch the ball, and you make a head movement, and you tuck the ball in,
that should be a football
move. That should be a football move, and that should be considered a catch. And if it's a bang-bang play, and the ball is loose, that should now be considered a fumble.
I agree 100%.
Because this rule is theoretically in place for the offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
This can be viewed as being in place for the defense as well, if you're looking at it like that. Now, if we come to the preseason and that play happens and they call that incomplete, then that's where your gray area now has come into fruition.
There's probably something written in very small print in that NFL rule book that the fans, that we probably won't get, that they're going to make a judgment call and say it wasn't a catch and he didn't fumble because he never had possession when everyone else thought it was actually a catch. Yep. So there probably is going to be a headache. I feel like the NFL always just seems to drop the ball on these issues. But right now, everything I'm seeing on paper, it seems like they made the right call here.
Another one that I want to talk about here is when a team wins a game with a touchdown as the time expires in regulation. We've seen this happen with the Vikings, correct? They had to come back on the field. The teams were already in the tunnel in their respective locker rooms. They will no longer have to come out and try an extra point or a two-point conversion. I bring this up for two reasons, Tom. One, I think it makes the most sense in the world. The other reason why I bring this up, and actually I just thought about this right before we started this, betting reasons. What are most lines? 6.5.
Yep.
That is very, very weird because now you got to look at this. What's legal in the U.S. now?
Yep, just betting. Legal. Yep.
So this adds a whole new element to the what's going to happen with this proposed rule change. It's funny. I actually think this is probably the biggest rule change out of all of them that could take the most heat or could be the most praised because it could essentially win you a lot of money if you're a gambler or lose you a lot of money if you are as well.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of like a week-to-week thing. If you lose a bunch of money because of this new rule, you're probably going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
Or if you're a kicker that has some contract or some fantasy clause points. Fantasy points or some
could
clause
you imagine
in your contract.
If you're Adam Vinatieri, like that 1 year, right? He missed out because of one extra point.
Yeah. And so there's going to be a lot of instances where this is going to affect people negatively and positively, but I think this is the right call. It's a common sense call. I remember looking or watching that Vikings and Saints game last year. That was a crazy-ass game, but how painful was it for the Saints to have to come back on the field after everything that just happened to them? I felt bad for them. Normally, I don't feel bad for these guys. They're making a lot of money. They're playing a kid's game, having a good time. I'm jealous of them. But having to come out after losing like that, it made no sense, and I absolutely felt bad for them. So it'll get rid of that whole scenario possibly happening again.
Yeah, I'm very interested on the betting aspect. I could see some people really freaking out over it. And in as much as of a fan of the game as you are, 1 point is a huge difference. Oh, yeah. And especially you gotta take into consideration, there's probably going to be prop bets now that say, will the game end on a touchdown with or without an extra point?
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting.
You're going to change everything.
Another one, a designated member of the officiating department will be able to instruct on-field officials. So an official up in the box, probably from Fox or wherever he's at, can instruct an official to disqualify a player for a flagrant non-football act when a foul for that is called on the play. Before we started this, you brought up two instances. And what two were those?
It was the Gronk when he kind of did that late jumping on to Tre'Davious White last year. Yep. I believe it was after the play pretty much.
Total
cheap shot.
And Tre'Davious White was on the ground, laying on the ground.
And he just pretty much jumped and torpedoed him. Yep. Total like BS play right there. Not very fun, like Gronk likes to play.
Yeah.
That was a dickhead move right there. And there was also an incident with Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore. I believe he grabbed his face mask.
The Mike Evans incident was with Jameis Winston pushing Marshawn Lattimore, and Mike Evans came across the field and de-cleated him like an idiot and was suspended, right? That next game,
yes.
I believe.
Both of them. Gronk was also suspended.
Yeah.
The only reason I really like this is I would rather see them being kicked out of that game instead of the next game being suspended for a game. Hopefully getting kicked out of the game will not lead to a suspension as well. That hurts people in fantasy, betting, real NFL teams. I'd rather see the player lose out on what he did in that current game instead of the next week. That's the only reason I'm a fan of this.
Yeah.
And I think both of those plays were obvious plays where they should have been ejected.
Now, do you see, you said that they should be ejected out of the game, but not the next week,
yes,
right? Do you see an instance where you could see somebody getting frustrated, say it's the fourth quarter, 2 minutes left, Mike Evans runs across the field and de-cleats Marshon Lattimore. Now he's ejected for that game, but what if they were losing already and the game was already in hand?
There's a possibility of that happening, and I'm not going to take it. Or I could see the NFL still suspending him for a game.
Yeah.
I hope they don't. People lose their cool sometimes. You've done it. I've lost my cool sometimes. It's just human nature, especially when you're in a violent game like this. Hopefully, it's kind of limited to just that current game, and it doesn't lead over to the next week, especially with only 16 games being played in the NFL for each team. Each game means a lot.
Another rule change here, Tom. Lowering the head to initiate contact with the helmet is a foul. Now, 2 points to this. We've seen multiple players on the defensive side do this. Steelers linebackers, for one, always do this. DJ Swearinger, he was a big proponent of this before, and a couple other guys. But now, also, you have to think about what is the possible recourse here for the offensive player initiating that contact as well, because we've seen players such as Alex Collins, right?
Yep.
He definitely lowers his head when he goes into contact. Where's that breaking point for an offensive player? Is it his eyes have to be facing the ground, or the crown, or like the face mask has to be parallel with the ground, or what constitutes it as lowering the head to initiate contact for an offensive player compared to a defensive player?
That is the hard question right now. I don't know if anyone really knows this. I've seen people inside the league come out and say that offensive linemen can be penalized for this, that running backs will be penalized for this. There's actually a rule in place, or that was in place last year, for running backs not being able to do this, but it was never called. So it'll be interesting to see if this is called, if we're seeing star running backs, more power backs who normally tend to try to like truck stick those smaller DBs out in the open field, if they are getting called for this, if the offensive linemen are getting called for this. It's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be game-changing. And this is the NFL right now. Just, they're trying to cover their bases. Look, right now the NFL, these athletes, they're massive. They're big. They're faster than they've ever been. They're stronger. This is not the 70s, 80s, 90s football players. These guys are all freak athletes who back in the day would have dominated.
Agreed.
It's just common sense that this is happening now. But you look at the play, remember Devonta Adams getting destroyed by Danny Trevathan last year? He should have been kicked out of that football game.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
That should have been a penalty. That stuff needs to end if we want this game that we love so much to continue. There is so much heat on the NFL right now with all the concussions and them not making the game safe enough. And it kind of sucks. I don't want the NFL to go away. It's my favorite sport. I don't enjoy watching any sport nearly as much as I do the NFL. But there needs to be changes. This might just be them putting this on paper, making it kind of look better to the lawyers. There's still a bunch of lawsuits out against the NFL.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see how much they call this. But you don't want this to happen just randomly. You kind of want it to be consistent, because you don't want, let's say, the Bucks Colts are playing, and just one play, Marlon Mack runs someone over but lowers his helmet. They kick him out. Like, that's a huge play.
Yeah,
or Ronald Jones does it, but no one else they do it to.
And that's the tough part. Does it constitute somebody getting ejected like that?
Yeah, that's what sucks.
That's going to be the tough part. Now, we can see, I don't know if they've adopted the collegiate rule, right, of targeting.
It's pretty similar. Yeah, because there's the penalty, and then,
but the NFL still has the rule of two personal foul penalties,
and
you're gone, correct?
Yeah.
So maybe you do lower your head. That constitutes as one personal foul penalty, and then if you do it again, then you're out. I mean, I could see something like that happening. I think, honestly, the lowering the head does not get called nearly enough for the offensive side, especially the running backs or a wide receiver, as compared to the defensive side, and rightfully so, because you're trying to keep these players healthy. But at the same time, when one side does it more often, and doesn't get called for it, it's kind of ass backwards in a sense.
There's going to be such a gray area. That's what sucks with a lot of these rules. And it's hard to officiate these football games. Almost every play is a bang-bang play. Everything yeah. happens. You don't want to be in the replay booth. You don't want New York and the big shots calling them, be like, oh, pause the game. We got a play we want to review. We want to kick this player out.
And then what happens there? You're gonna pause the game to review every hit that does happen?
Yeah.
You're going to turn a 3.5-hour game into 4.5 hours almost.
And we've seen what time does to baseball. A lot of people don't watch baseball because it's boring. It's too long. They've tried to make it faster. Same with the NFL.
Yeah.
They've done stuff with their with the television where the commercials are only certain times and they're not as long as they used to be because people were complaining about
that. And it's funny, we'll get to that in a little bit because I'm going to compare what the AAF is going to do, the Alliance of American Football, what they're doing in their new league that's going to launch in 2019 as compared to what the NFL is doing right now. So we'll get to that very shortly. But one other thing that I did want to talk about, Tom, is the kickoffs for the NFL. And you're talking about keeping players healthy.
Yep.
This year, in 2017, the rule for kickoffs, the kickoff team must have at least 4 players on each side of the ball. Now, if you think about that, that's probably looking more like an onside kick, right? Because you're usually stacking up 4 on one side and the rest of the players on the other side. The new rule in 2018, kickoff team must have 5 players on each side of the ball, regardless if it's an onside kick. And again, this is going to have the biggest impact on the onside kicks because now it's more even based. So you would normally have 6 and then 4. Now it's going to be 5 and 5. What do you think about that?
It's interesting. I think there's a possibility it leads to more teams attempting onside kicks, especially if they're down. We saw the Eagles. They went for a ton on 4th down. They did some onside kicks. So you get a new coach in there who's ready to make a splash. The team's down at halftime, and they come in. They got to kick the ball off in the second half. We're probably going to be more likely to see onside kicks, which is it can be exciting as long as they're not positive against your team, you know?
I agree. Another rule change. 2017, kickoff teams can set up 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I believe the year before was 10, if I remember correctly. This year, kickoff teams cannot line up more than 1 yard from the line of scrimmage. So basically, your running start is now over.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that? Because I think that is huge.
That is definitely a big difference. You look at what happens on kick returns.
Yep.
A lot of violence. You're 5 times more likely to get a concussion on a kickoff. And that's probably the number one enemy of the NFL right now, besides people kneeling at the national anthem. You know, no one likes concussions. I don't want to see people being brain dead out there going out after football and not having a healthy life. Hope everyone that's playing for our enjoyment has a healthy life after football, but it's just not going to happen. So obviously, if things aren't changed with the concussions going down, they're getting rid of the play.
Yeah,
I think that's bound to happen. But I don't want to see that either. That's going to completely change rosters.
It is.
There's guys that make these rosters just because of their special teams ability, just because they have sacks the size of freaking cantaloupes, and they can go down there. They don't care about their body and make the hit. And it'll definitely change things.
Yeah, you got to think about it. Some of these guys that were drafted this year are getting drafted based on that they can play special teams and run down the field and cover somebody.
Yeah.
They're not getting there's guys that were passed over, a legit receiving option for a guy that plays wide receiver that will never see the field as a wide receiver, but he can run down the field pretty fast and make a tackle.
I haven't looked into the difference between kickoffs and punts. It'd be interesting to see if on punts if concussions are way down.
Yeah.
Because that's also kind of a possibility, kind of just like a free kick like they do.
True.
After a safety. Possibly do that. You'll have a lot more just sky-high kicks where people fair catch it more often than anything. But that pretty much gets rid of the touchback, all those options. But I'm sure it's something the NFL has looked into as well.
2017 rule, 2-man wedge blocks permitted, can take place anywhere on the field. New rule this year. No wedge blocks. Only players who were initially lined up in the setup zone may come together in a double team block.
Wedges are dangerous.
Yeah.
I remember playing football and getting the shit knocked out of me for running into a wedge block. It wasn't a two-man, but still, those are dangerous, especially with these guys running. So trying to get rid of concussions, it's a smart idea. It definitely changes how special teams are being run, and special teams coaches are going to definitely have their work cut out for them.
When you see two gigantic men running down the field with their hands connected, running at one player, it's not fair, and it's
your
not
job is to break through that,
and it's not safe.
That's why people get concussions.
Exactly, you know? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You can't wedge blocks cannot be permitted, and thank you for taking that away because that's just asinine. You cannot do that. 2017 rule: the ball is dead if it is downed in the end zone by the receiving team. New rule: the ball is dead for a touchback if it touches the ground in the end zone. Even if it hasn't been touched by the receiving team, the returner doesn't have to down the ball in the zone to get a touchback, i.e., think of what a punt is.
Yep.
Same thing. Obviously, we've talked before the show. Remember when the Jets recovered the ball in the end, or I'm sorry, yeah, the Jets recovered the ball in the end zone from the Buffalo Bills in 2016, and they got the touchdown for it. That play, Jets fans, would not happen this year.
It makes sense. Just there's really not much else to it. They're just blatantly trying to negate the amount of reps that a kickoff happens per game, trying to get these kickoffs to pretty much for sure be a touchback if it's possible. And that's all I got about that.
Yeah. It's a very interesting time for the NFL and on their kickoffs. I think they're trying to do a better job implementing any possibility they have of reducing the amount of concussions. And I think this is a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
But like you said, we may see a day where it's going to be a free kick. Or we might see a day of what the AAF is doing.
I do not know what the AAF is doing. I'm glad you are up to par on that, because I'm sure they'll be interesting. But if I was the NFL like Players Association, I'd pretty much be telling my members that, all right, guys, it's going to be almost an unwritten rule that fuck almost the first three quarters of the game, as long as you aren't getting blown out, just kick a touchback.
Yeah.
If it's a close game, fourth quarter, return it. Almost just be an unwritten rule out there trying to save these guys' jobs, because the play's still going to be there. There's not going to be more drastic changes. Concussions are down. Returns are down. So everything's working, and the NFL would be happy about it. Players would be happy about it. I doubt that's going to happen, though.
So now we have talked extensively about what the NFL is doing. I'm going to tell you what the AAF is doing. And I want you to tell me what you think makes the most sense for kickoffs. We'll get to everything else that the AAF is doing, because it's kind of interesting in what they're doing. But remember, who's in charge of the AAF?
Is it Polian?
No, Dick Ebersol.
Okay.
Same guy that formed the XFL with Vince McMahon. So, Dick Ebersol here. You must look at almost any study of professional and collegiate football. The kickoff is one of the least popular plays among fans, and it's one of the most dangerous. So why are we still doing it? Basically, the AAF is replacing, or I'm sorry, the AAF has beaten the NFL to the punch, as kickoffs will be replaced with the offensive team simply being given the ball at its own 25-yard line to begin each possession.
I don't hate it. It really makes sense. I know a lot of the head guys in the AAF have connections with the NFL. Yep. I know Bill Polian's up there. He's doing something with the league, and he's a NFL Hall of Famer, great GM, Bills, Colts, led a lot of organizations to the Super Bowl. So this is them trying to get out in front of the XFL as well.
It is.
But also kind of just be their little test dummy right there, see how everything works there.
What happens, though, if a team wants to kick an onside?
That's what's interesting.
Here we go.
Oh.
Onside kicks will be replaced in the AAF with a chance to gain 10 yards on a single play from the offensive own 35-yard line In order to main possession, they have to get a first down. So 10 yards to get a first down. You basically have the same exact statistical likelihood of gaining control of the ball on an onside kick as you do on a 4th and 10.
I like it.
So it's basically 4th and 10 on your own 35. If you go for it, you get it, you get the ball pretty much on your 45 or past that. And if you don't get it, the team most likely gets the ball on your 35.
Only thing I'd like to change, I feel like a lot of teams would probably do that quite often, change it to the 25. So you are really penalized if you do go for it right there.
The AAF is also taking away extra point kicks. You are required to go for 2 points following each and every touchdown. I like that.
I like it.
Let me say this, though.
Feel bad for kickers. Yeah, there's kickers are people.
There's no love. I mean, I thought this league, they would have a job for my boy that from Tampa Bay that they ended up getting rid of. And so apparently you can't even get a job here.
Because, yeah, they didn't take the field goal away, right? So you still have that.
Field goal is still there, yes.
And, yeah, so there's really not much that they're doing. But I do like that. That it's more exciting. A lot of people would be, or more people are interested in a passing play or running play than they are a kickoff or a 35 yard extra point attempt or whatever it is right now. So it does make sense. It'll probably be more exciting brand of football, and I would not be opposed to the NFL doing this. It would probably get rid of kickers, though, in fantasy football, which I'm really not opposed to either.
And to your point, Tom, AAF will be overseen by Ebersol, Bill Polian, and Troy Polamalu.
Okay.
So, all three of them. Very interesting.
It's smart, though.
10-week season.
Is that going to be in spring?
It is. It starts February 9th, 6 days after the NFL season.
That is perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully, it's on big-time TV. Hopefully the product isn't terrible.
And it ends the final week of April.
That's good, though. I like that. I'm a fan.
The other thing that the AAF is doing is making shorter games. So one thing Ebersol said, the first place we started thinking about is how can we make the game shorter? How can we make it so a 7-year-old won't lose his mind because he's already been there for 2.5 hours? So their goal is to have each game last no longer than 2.5. Basically, Ebersol believes it can be accomplished with a shorter play clock, 30 seconds compared to the NFL's 40, as well as 60% reduction in commercial time. Basically, they're getting rid of TV timeouts. We're not going to commercial unless if it's a part of the natural flow of the game.
I like it. I have a feeling it's going to be successful. I bet ratings are going to be high. You know, in that time period, everyone kind of goes through, like, the football withdrawals. You got the Super Bowl, and then it's just over.
Yeah.
And then if you aren't a draft geek like we are, then you pretty much lose interest in football for the next 4 or 5 months. This is going to lead people into being football fans. And I hope they get a good amount of decent college players. Hopefully they're not offering, like, 35-year-old Paul Posluszny a starting middle linebacker job. Hopefully it's kind of younger guys who they're asking to prove themselves and possibly make an NFL roster.
So one of the other things that they're doing, now that you just brought that up, regional drafts, local players. AAF will feature a regional-style draft in order to allow regional athletes stay closer to home and give fans the chance to cheer for their hometown heroes. So, I like that.
Smart.
I like that a lot. You kind of think of that. It doesn't happen very often. So,
is it going to be like a, let's go fantasy football terms, is this going to be a redraft every year, or is it going to be like a dynasty format?
I think it'll be like you draft your team to begin with, and then...
Is it next year completely different players if they don't move on?
Okay. Yeah, that I don't know, okay. To be honest. I'm not sure. One of the other things that they said is, as an alternative to the NFL's fantasy football format, Ebersol, the AAF is planning to add a twist to fantasy football when the league begins in February. We will introduce over the next couple of months the first fully integrated fantasy game where you can play while you're watching. Ebersol said you can engage with your friends, you can have dialogue with your friends, all while you're participating in the game. So that is interesting enough. You know what that brings into my mind is, remember when you used to go to Buffalo Wild Wings and you had those blue game boards? I think it's going to be something like that.
Okay.
That's what I think it is. Last but not least, unique player bonuses. Ebersol said all AAF players, 50 players on each team, will receive a standard base salary. Bonuses can be earned in three different categories: winning, reaching statistical milestones, and fan engagement. Do you know how that works? Fan engagement?
No.
Because I don't know.
I have no idea.
For the first time in professional sports, we're creating something around fan engagement bonuses. We're looking to incentivize both the fan and the player to have symbiotic relationship. Where the better the player does, the fans have the ability to reward that, not just the player on the field, but on your fantasy team, socializing with you during the week, the charitable work they do, and the support structure that they have.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like it. You know, a lot of people kind of wish that sports contracts were like that. So how many times have we seen that guy sign that big-time deal, and the next 4 years they're just garbage? You know, they ball out in their contract year, and then it's nothing.
The last thing he says here, what if I said to you, okay, you come and play in my league, and the better you do engaging your fans, the more you make. Think of it that way.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It makes sense. And we might – I don't think the NFL is going to get away from their current salaries or anything like that, but I can definitely see – there being like bonuses like that thrown into contracts. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the lockout. You know, the NFLPA is telling their players to get their war chest ready, which normally isn't a good thing, but it's good to have more football coming. The AAF, it sounds like it's going to be a fun league. So hopefully the product isn't a disappointment like the XFL was back in the day.
So I want to ask you a question, Tom. What do you like more? Do you like what the AAF is doing? They're obviously not a fully functional league yet, but would you like to take some of that and put it into the NFL?
100%. And I think the NFL right now is they're going to see how that works for the AAF. See how their ratings are. They're going to put test groups out, see how they like their rules compared to the NFL, and look back to the NFL against the XFL. Look how many things the NFL stole from the XFL. Yeah. All the camera angles, just everything. Different attitude, different angles of cheerleaders, just everything. They stole pretty much everything that we enjoy from the NFL right now is from the XFL. They're doing this. They're going to do the same thing with the AAF. I'm sure they'll be friends. They're not going to be competing with each other, and that's what the XFL tried to do with the NFL last time. They're playing after the Super Bowl, so this is just a test dummy right here. They're going to see how it works, and the people running the NFL are smart. They're going to see if this is popular with the fans. The fan base right now is changing. There's a possibility of bringing new fans in. So I like what they're doing. I think it makes sense, and a lot of the AAF rules make a lot of sense. Hopefully the NFL does change, and I think they need to.
Yeah, I think it'd be very interesting if they took some of this, because I do like it. The kickoff, I think, still needs work. And me, personally, I'm a fan of the kickoff. But at the same time, if it's for players' health, I'm okay if they eliminate it. And if they do eliminate it, I'm okay with what the AAF is doing, where they do... And I like your point. Instead of the 35, I would like the 30. I think the 25 may be too close for the other team to turn over. I mean, the 35 is not bad, but the 30, I think, would make a lot more sense. It's really jeopardizing what you're going to do on that offensive or defensive side of the ball. So I do like that, and I think it'd be very interesting to see what happens with the AAF. Do I think the AAF is going to take over the NFL? Probably by no means, because absolutely the football not is definitely not going to be the same as what the NFL is. But I think they're going to have quite a few good things going on there that I think we're going to see the NFL take and adopt into their own league.
It's good for both. Football is the most popular sport in the NFL. These guys are trying to make money right after the NFL season, right after the Super Bowl. People are still in that football mode. It just makes sense for both parties. They get to try things out, and pretty much like a minor league, a G league or D league, whatever the NBA thing is called now.
Which is what the NFL needs. They 100%. Need, they need a developmental 100%. League. And honestly, if you look at the XFL and if you look at the AAF, going from college and you go to the NFL, there has to be a place for, what is it, 90 players?
Yeah.
Make a roster, cut down to 53. That's almost half of these guys with no job.
Yep.
Give them a chance in another league, and I just don't want to see the NFL run these two leagues into the ground and destroy them, because this could be an easy developmental opportunity.
And the good thing, the AAF, is they're bringing in like former NFL players, coaches, to lead these players in the right direction. And, you know, it doesn't happen a lot, but there's kind of a there's a good amount of players from, like, the CFL. Cameron Wake came from there. Darrell Freeman came from there. Some good players that could ball. They had to go to the Canadian Football League. Now they get to go to the AAF, where it's going to be nationally televised, I'm sure. Do it in their home country. It's a better brand of football than the Canadian Football League, so it's going to be entertaining. The rules are going to be somewhat similar. It's a great idea. We need this.
Last but not least, Tom, it has nothing to do with a rule change at all, but I need to ask your thoughts. The NFL ran a survey asking fans if Colin Kaepernick should be signed or if he should still be a free agent because of him kneeling for the national anthem. Again, the NFL launched a survey and only named Colin Kaepernick. Is there an issue with that?
Yes. They're going to lose the grievance.
After that,
lose the lawsuit.
Yeah, you're done. That was stupid.
I don't know what is going through any of their minds. The whole national anthem policy, it is what it is. You know, people are saying these players deserve the right to protest during the anthem.
Oh, I even totally forgot about that. Yeah. Since you just brought that up. Now, players have the option to stay in the locker room for the national anthem, and if they are on the field, they have to be standing, the hands across their chest, and if they take a knee, they will be penalized.
Yeah.
I honestly think, I mean, people have the right to protest. And I think protesting while standing in the locker room, it's still a protest, and I think it's fine. Now, going on the field and still protesting, that is your own personal decision. But at the same time, now you're not just hurting, now you're hurting the team in a football environment. Yeah. You're still protesting, and I still understand that. We're not going to really get into it. But now that there is a thing that you're allowed to do, you can stay in the locker room and there's no issue. But now what happens if you stay in the locker room, you're one of two guys, now you look like the asshole.
Yeah.
Almost.
There's so many like gray areas, and you gotta look like legally. Look, the NFL is a company. Yeah. It's like you go into work, your work tells you, hey, you're not gonna be able to protest today. That's our new rule. And you do it. If they fire you, you're screwed.
Yeah, exactly. Because
that's the place of business you work for. They tell you the rules. It's almost the same thing as the like NFL uniform policy. These guys can't wear whatever they want because it's a rule. It's the same thing. I want these players to be able to protest, do whatever they want. But you look at the NBA. They have to stand. That's a rule. No one's making a big thing about it. It is what it is. I wish these players took a different avenue to do this. I really don't find them kneeling to be disrespectful to the flag. But like 40% of the people that watch the game who pay the bills for you and your family to live a good life, find it disrespectful. Find a better way to do it.
But back to the original part. The NFL is screwed when it comes to this Colin Kaepernick thing because you do not put somebody's name out there like that because you're going to get it. So
it's just so dumb. Like, I don't know. I don't get why people are so upset. I give two shits.
Yeah.
If Colin Kaepernick came on the Colts and was fighting for a backup job, I wouldn't care.
I agree.
Let the best player play. I really don't give a crap what these guys do off the field. I just want them to put good football on the field.
Backup. He'd probably be the starter.
No, shut up.
Dude, he ain't got no arm right now.
Dude, have you seen him?
He's a monster.
Dude, he's ripped.
I'm pretty sure he's going to play Captain America in the next movie. So
he's got that fake arm. It looks good.
Anything else, Tom?
That's all I got.
I think we nailed everything. That's so fun. Good stuff.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike, for giving us the idea. But yeah, for Tom and myself, the shits and giggles, man. We have nothing else for you guys, so listen out for the next couple of episodes that we have. We are talking fantasy and draft strategies, which way you should go, the running back heavy go route, or maybe you should go wide receiver early with the no running back route, or go quarterback early. Listen to the next couple of episodes. We're going to be talking about it. And again, for Tim and for Tom and myself, Tim again doing some MMA obligations. We are Pony Keg Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony underscore Keg underscore Tom, at Fight Talk Tim. You guys can always email us ponykegsports@gmail.com. And this year, again, we will have another jersey giveaway. We are in talks with Pristine Auction, and we haven't decided on the player yet, but we'll get it, and we'll go ahead and do a giveaway for that jersey, autographed again, all that good stuff. And maybe this year we'll see if we decide to do a fan and us listener league. Maybe we'll go on Sleeperbot and see if we have anybody out there that does want to jump in a league with us. And again, for Tom and the Shits and Giggle Man here, we are out. See ya.